It's European semi-final picks edition of the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code PLGP to get a 100% deposit match. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Sunday, April the 28th. We are here to look around a Premier League weekend, which finished quite successfully for me and Baz a couple of hours ago. And then the semi-finals, all three European competitions, semi-final stage, and one Premier League game on Thursday night. So seven games to get to, plenty of miles around Europe. Joining me from a couple of hundred miles further south is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Baz, what's happening?
Even well, I'm all right. Good weekend. Lots of winners about. So I'm a lot better today and in a lot better spirits than I was through the week.
Yes, mate. We sat here. I think we gave it the old switcheroo, Baz. We sat here and said how tricky it was. And then smashed out a ton of winners. Absolutely delighted. I'll tell you what, even the losers, I was quite happy with. I would pick Palace again. They missed tons of chances. They lost on Newcastle somehow. But we said they were all really short. You just had to pick the right pick. What was it? And I did them to win both halves. Well, do you know what I mean? I can't remember what else I lost on. But the process were absolutely fine. So I went 6 out of 10, Baz. Or did I go 7 out of 10? Do I get the Aston Villa win because they went 2-0 up? I got paid out, Baz. I mean, the money's out there.
We've never claimed it before, have we?
Have we not?
Yeah. We've got to accept some people are backing these things with other books the way you don't get paid out.
That's not our problem, Baz.
That is foolish. But I don't think we've ever claimed it as a winner if it's finished 2-2, despite the fact you went 2-0 up and got paid out. It's still a good one.
The thing is, I get my accumulator up as well. Gives me back-to-back 9-1 accumulators. Paid out, Barry. Paid out. Money's there. It's been paid out. I did Bournemouth, Aston Villa and Arsenal was me accumulator. So, yeah.
I got my accumulator paid out, Malcolm. No curveballs needed. No special offers needed. Cash mine with ease. Newcastle to win and both to score. Arsenal to win and both to score. It was a nice 6-1 double. And fucking hell, we weren't that far away because I'd added Liverpool in as a bonus, as a second tier, to get us up to 18-1. And obviously Liverpool go behind, get themselves 2-1 in front. And had they have held on or got a late winner in that one, would have cashed the 18-1 as well. But happy enough to see Liverpool not win and still cash me 6-1.
Well, yeah, that was in a great pick. Went right up the ladder, didn't we, for shots. Lee, who's just joined us in the chat, screenshot. And I didn't see a final tool. I went out to the Newcastle match about halfway, maybe it's half-time, actually, in that Liverpool game. So I know the 20 hit, but I think I saw Lee's bet was up about 28, man.
Got up to 28.
Absolutely outrageous, that, isn't it?
The funny thing is, Mal, I was on TikTok on Saturday morning. A few people who are in here were in as well. And a couple of people just passing by because I had a sort of my picks up on the screen, and a few people are saying 20 shots, that's ridiculous. And I kept having to explain to them why it wasn't ridiculous. And as it happens, it was ridiculous. We went too low, but a few people got up the ladder on that. Ladder on the corners as well, brought the ladder out again this week on Bournemouth corners. A little bit of hard work in that one. We got two really early, and then it was really slow in the middle, but we had a little flurry at the end. So we started 6 corners for Bournemouth. That was my main pick for that game. And then we got the 7 and the 8. So we cashed a 5-2 winner for the 8 Bournemouth corners. So, good week for the stats picks. Got up the ladders again. So, a little bit of a confidence booster ahead of these last few weeks.
It was, and actually there's a a few teams come out of it, I'm happy to carry on riding Crystal Palace. I'll be happy to carry on fading West Ham. There is one eye catcher that I'll get to in a minute as well. After we've said hello to Slick Rick, joined us live, first time in a little while. How are you doing? Lee, we mentioned Lloyd-O. Says Alexander Isak's going to bag in 25 for Liverpool next season. What a load of shite. Michael Roberts is here. Pete celebrating a league championship with Bold and Colliery FC. Congratulations. Well played. James Mafia's in here as well. It was a good weekend of games as well, Baz. Entertaining. Liverpool fucked it a bit further, which was good. Arsenal nearly blew it. I don't know. Because it was meant to be boys in the first half. Then all of a sudden, the goalie drops a bollock, and that was game on. And then Manchester City just kept Nottingham Forest at arm's length. But even that was a good game. Forest made plenty of chances. Chris Wood missed several chances from 4 yards out. Man City, you, when the final whistle goes, you come away thinking, yeah, that was a comfortable win. I don't think it was, because maybe the first goal would have changed it, something like that. So it was quite a decent weekend. The two eye catchers I wanted to mention, Baz. Firstly, were Brighton and Hove Albion, who have completely and utterly gone to shit. That was one of my picks of the season. I loved that today. Bournemouth absolutely mauled them as well. Oh, I had a 22-1 winner, Baz, which I sent you. In fact, I put it up on Twitter. Forgot about this. You know, this stupid little free game on Sky Bet where I've won. I won that £20 token a few weeks ago. Well, Bet365 did a similar one. I won 50p, Baz, yesterday. So I put my 50 pence on Bournemouth to win 3-0, 22-1. Bosh, £11 straight in the hutch. Immediately spunked it on the 4:05 at Weatherby. So that was the end of that. I was going to free roll into 500 quid by the time the show started because it would have been a really good story to tell, but I didn't. So it's easy come, easy go, Baz. But, you know, 22-1 winner. Brighton scored one goal in April, Barry. One goal. And it was that own goal from Arthur Murich, the Burnley goalie. That's the only goal they scored. What's happened to Brighton? Like, goals galore in the first month. So, and they've got no fit players. They're playing kids you've never heard of. Between now and the end of the season, Baz, we'll make a lot of money. We'll fade Brighton. We'll fade them team total against handicaps. And the other team I feel like we should mention is Sheffield United, who are the first through the trap door. It was always going to be difficult, Barry. They were prohibitive favourites to go down at the start of the season. They had a terrible off-season. They lost and died, didn't they? They lost Sander Berge to their nearest rivals in terms of relegation, Ben, at the start of the season. Never recovered, really. Put up the odd good show. But, yeah, that was the end of them. So, any eye catchers or thoughts on those two teams, Baz?
Not really. I think you covered it all, but I thought there's a couple of incidents we should talk about, though.
Incidents.
Let's go straight to the Chelsea late winner against Aston Villa, first of all. Two things. It was a foul. It was a definite foul. I think it was a definite foul. In full time, full speed, he does absolutely hammer him. I can't understand why, though, the ref...
Hammered him, did he just say?
It goes straight into his back. It's not sure that...
You want to use those words? He absolutely hammered him. They're the words you want to use for what happened there.
It was a foul. It was definitely a foul. According to Sam, the ref had the perfect view of it, so I don't know why he doesn't give it. For him to then go and look at it and decide it was a foul, he should have just given it on the spot and we wouldn't have had any of the fucking about. Because it goes straight back to what we said last week about VAR just killing those big moments because Chelsea think they've won it. And it just killed it. And as much as I think it was a foul, you obviously don't. It's just that moment again. It's a last-minute winner stolen away after 5 minutes of pissing about looking at monitors. And I just hate it. I hate it more and more every week. That drives me mad.
I'm not saying it wasn't a foul either. I think I'm just happy with whatever the referee thought it was. Like, that's his job. I'm not bothered one way or the other.
But he thought it was a foul, and then he looked at it and thought it was. My problem with that was he had the best view. He was right in front of it, and he didn't call it in real time. So then why change your mind if that's... I don't know. It was all a bit ridiculous. But the main point from it was just that stealing away of moments of glory from fans once again. That's shite. The Areola incident, what do you think of that, Mal?
Well, isn't this what we talked about the other week, where the referee's got to...
I assume you're saying, fine, do you say the same this time, that we should just let him stop the game and not... Because that's what you said last time. You didn't think the Raya one was wrong. So what did you think this week?
I thought he should let him score.
But that's the opposite of what you said when David Raya...
I don't think it is.
It is, because you said... Oh, he wasn't. He just made a mistake. Got to let him off. You don't score goals for that. It was the same thing.
No, the referee made a mistake.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, the referee...
No, I'm not having it. You're coming up with the opposite argument for the exact same incident. I think it was a fuck-up again, and it was the same referee, I think, wasn't it? Taylor. He doesn't blow the whistle to stop that game at any point, does he? Until he realised Gakpo is going to go and nick it. And then he just made up some reason to stop the game. It was bizarre. Yeah, absolutely stupid. And
well, that's the same. Yeah. No.
And that's me sticking up for Liverpool, which doesn't happen very often. But yeah, I think that was ridiculous.
The third one, Lee's just pointed out in the chat, was Declan Rice volleying whoever it was, Tottenham player, volleyed him right in the nuts. Literally 2 yards in front of the referee. And Michael Oliver just didn't bother giving anything. It was so obvious. Gary Neville spotted it immediately. Again, 80 yards away.
Yeah, as you say, he was right on the spot. Michael Oliver's let himself down the last couple of weeks, I think. But he was right on the spot. And I think people are right. There's an element of referees just not wanting to give it and thinking, well, it's all right, VAR will cover us if not. And it's garbage. I thought Spurs were unlucky not to get that penalty in the first half. It would have been a soft one. But he trips him. And I think if that same foul occurred in the middle of the pitch, in the build-up to that goal, because Arsenal go up to their end and score, I think they'd have brought it back, said foul, free kick, ruled the goal out. But because if they'd ruled the goal out, they would have had to give a penalty up the other end. It was such a big consequence. They didn't want to make it. They didn't even review it. I don't think they made any review of that
foul.
Incident.
Why?
But he caught him. It was a foul.
It's not a foul, though.
We've seen them.
Where in the rules are you catching someone's on a foul? Contact isn't a foul.
It is some weeks. In my opinion, I think it was.
It was
certainly a reviewable incident. I think it was ridiculous that it didn't get reviewed, at least in that one.
They reviewed it. The VAR looked at it and said play on.
I don't think it did. They didn't even show us a replay on the telly until half time.
So that tells you how little of a foul it was. You've gone soft, Baz. Proper soft weekend for you. Funny that.
Grace.
What with? Oh, shut up, man. He's an idiot as well. So, what else? The only other thing I've got to mention, but I've got two things to mention, actually. Chips Ahoy on Twitter pointed out, Barry, that a black Lego octopus was washed up on the beach last week. Funnily enough, on the very same week that you mentioned the fabled container ship full of Lego, BBC ran a story that a black Lego octopus had been washed up. The black Lego octopus is quite rare, but it's the yellow sharks, Barry. They're the absolute rarest of all. It's the yellow sharks that you need to look out for. So if you can find one of them, you're in business. But Chips Ahoy, I appreciate it. That was good. And Baz, League One and League Two came to a conclusion yesterday. I know you went up the ladder on the goals play.
Oh yes,
in League One.
Yeah, again, I sort of shouted out on TikTok yesterday morning about my light of goals on a final day in the leagues. It's always there's loads of games with nothing meaningful in them, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be open and full of goals. So, I did go over 1.5 goals in every game at about 9-1. Notts County game was the only one that didn't have the over 1.5 goals. Out of 12 games, hit 11 out of 12, and County, of all people, killed that one. But I mentioned Skybet were doing the total goals in the division. 12 games, 39 was even money. 39 plus was even money. We got 48 in the end. I think I got up to about 8-1 for 48 or more, and there was opportunities to go higher. So definitely one to look out for on the last day of the Championship again. And we see it in the Premier League every year on the last day, often big scoring days. But League Two was brilliant for goals the other day. There was 4-3s, 4-4s, everything all over the place. It was brilliant.
I took the opportunity about an hour ago, Baz, to listen back to our EFL preview show, our League One and League Two preview show, just to find out how good or bad we've been. So, here's the outcome, Baz. I took Bolton to get promoted at 11-4. They finished third, so they're in the playoffs. So they're 6-4 favourites for the playoffs, so they're still alive. I did get Portsmouth, Baz, but I gave them out to finish in the top six at 4-5. So I got 4-5, about a 10-1 winner. Portsmouth to finish at the top six. But you know, you took Barnsley to win the league, they finished sixth. So they made the playoffs. So not too bad there. And I gave out Cheltenham to get relegated at 5-4. Again, not a huge price, but if you put your season lucky 15s on, they were in there. But Barry, this is where it gets good. We both gave out Stockport as our league winners in League Two. It's 6-1. So absolutely delighted with that. I gave out Notts County as a over Wrexham, which they finished 17th or something stupid. And I also gave out Crewe to get relegated, who finished 6th. So, you know, there's a bit of shite in there as well, Baz. But Stockport to win the league at 6-1 was our main pick. So I think we did all right there. Next year, we'll have to do a live bet builder. And then when I mean live, I don't just mean me and you. I mean everyone in the chat. We'll sit here one Thursday night. We'll all get our slips open. And we'll get the each way lucky 15s on Premier League, Championship, League One and League Two. And we'll get those bets in and see who can... a £1 each way lucky 15. We'll see who can make the most money. So that's for next year. But yeah, Stockport was a great pick, Baz.
Yeah, really good. Happy with that one. League One wasn't so good for me. As you say, Barnsley I took to win it. Might still get promoted, which would have been an all right price. But a long way to go. They're not in good form at the minute. Championship's looking good for me as well. I did take Ipswich to finish highly. I took Ipswich top six at 5-2, which is already cashed. And I took Huddersfield to be relegated in the Championship as well. They're nice. Down now, I think, pretty much confirmed. So, yeah, good. Done all right in the Championship as well. So, yeah, some decent stuff in the AFL. AFL's been good to me most of this year.
Right, OK. Let's get these European games underway. I'll tell you first about Underdog Fantasy, the NBA playoffs here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, are making it a lot more interesting. Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. If you play the pick'em game, it's as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and plenty more. You can make it all basketball or mix and match with a few different sports. Underdog is available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and even in Canada. They also just launched Champions, which is a player versus player format in Florida. Make sure to sign up with the code PLGP, Underdog, double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy promo code PLGP. Okay, next. Right, so we start Champions League. Good games all week, really. And the first game we're going to cover is by far the biggest game on the card. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, 3 o'clock Eastern time. Bayern Munich taking on Real Madrid. Munich have just drifted a little bit, actually. You know, I had them at 11-8, plus 137. They're just short of 6-4 now, plus 150. The draw, 13-5, plus 260. And Madrid have shortened up from 15-8 into 7-4, plus 175. So a little bit of money for Madrid this afternoon. Bayern Munich knocked Arsenal off in the last round. Good win there for Munich, as Arsenal have been rock solid lately. They were impressive, Munich, I thought, over the two legs. They're playing well in the league. They've won 3 in a row domestically. And the home form in the league is really impressive as well. They won 13 of 16. In the Champions League, their home form, they've won 5 and drawn 1. The home draw being a dead rubber against Copenhagen in the group. And they've kept clean sheets in both of the knockout home games, Barry, which was Arsenal and Lazio was the other one, the game before that. Real Madrid are flying in the Liga. 6 wins in a row, they're 13 points clear. They've beaten Barcelona, they've beaten Sociedad of the teams around them. I don't think they were the better team in either game against Manchester City, Barry. I thought Man City were really on top in both games. Madrid got away with a 3-3 at home. And I thought they were lucky to get that 1-1. It was a real backs to the wall effort. Man City made plenty of chances. Although the under 2.5 was a really obvious and shrewd pick that not many people would have alighted upon. Madrid have been unconvincing in the knockout stages, Baz, against Leipzig. They won 1-0 in Germany, 1-1 at home, squeezed past there. And then Man City, they get through on penalties without playing very well. The goals markets are really short, but I want an outright here, Baz. And I prefer Munich to nick it. I'm going to take Munich here, 11-8 plus 137. And I think they're going to nick it 2-1, Baz. 2-1 Munich is 17-2 plus 850. But yeah, I just think all things considered, Munich can be one goal better than Real Madrid here.
Yeah, you can have your 2-1. That's fine. That works for me. I'll be honest, this was probably the toughest one of the games we've looked at tonight. I actually came back to it last after doing the rest because I wasn't sure. But I had a similar sort of feeling about Bayern, and I've had it, you know, previously in the last round. I like Bayern against Arsenal. I thought a lot of people were writing them off a bit before the Arsenal game. We know they've had a bad season domestically, but as I said last time, they've got enough quality to continue to do things in this competition. They are up against the favourites. Real Madrid, I think, are rightfully favourites to take the trophy now. But this won't be a walk in the park for Real Madrid at all. I do think Bayern will play a part, certainly in the first leg, like you. And I think they'll certainly be live going into the game in Madrid. I know you said Madrid have struggled a bit. They are unbeaten, and no one's beat them yet in the Champions League. Won all of their group games away from home. Trips to Braga, Union Berlin. Napoli was a good one. Leipzig. And then obviously a draw. So they haven't won all of their away games. They're unbeaten away from home. Draw against City was a solid one as well. But it's a similar story, as you say, for Bayern at home. They've got good home form as well. 0-0 against Copenhagen, the only real blemish there on their record. But that was with a group sewn up. No recent history between the two. They haven't played each other for about 5 years now. But like you, I think Bayern will make a game of it. I'm just not sure they'll keep that clean sheet. You've mentioned their clean sheet records so far in the Champions League. So the pick for me is over 2.5 and both teams to score. So you can have your buy-in 2-1. And I will kill my 2.5 goals and both to score bets. So yeah, Bayern v Madrid, over 2.5 goals, both teams to score. Tag them together, 10-11.
Nice, Baz. The second semi-final taking place on Wednesday. Two teams that spent large parts of the group stages getting battered off Newcastle. Borussia Dortmund take on PSG. Dortmund are 7-4 plus 175. The draw 13-5 plus 260. And PSG 13-9 plus 145. Barry.
Yeah, for balance, Dortmund did beat Newcastle twice. So maybe give them a break on that one.
I just said we outplayed them for large parts, which is factually correct, Barry. I was there.
Incorrect. Yeah, another intriguing one. I know you had no love for either of these sides in the last round. I don't think you thought either of them would come through. Both had to come from behind to turn around their first leg defeats. Dortmund won 5-4 on aggregate. PSG won 6-4 on aggregate. So 19 goals across the four games. All four of those games saw both teams to score. All over 2.5 goals. Three of them went over 3.5 goals as well. So bags of goals in the games between these, or involving these sides in the previous round. And I think we're going to expect goals again in this one. Neither side are particularly known for keeping it tight. My lean, if I was going to take a team to qualify here, would be towards PSG to qualify. But I think Dortmund will keep in this at home and give them a shot going to Paris. Obviously, the two teams faced each other in the group stage. Tie was the result. 1-1 draw in the group stage, at Germany. There's a lot more at stake in this now, though. I just think this one's going to be open. I think it'll be a wide open game. I'm going to take the goals. I'm going to take over 3.5 goals. So Dortmund v PSG. Pick for me is over 3.5 goals at 6-5.
Okay, that fits in as well, Baz. Similar. We've got a similar handicap with a different pick here. Both of these had really quite remarkable quarterfinals. Dortmund putting four past Atletico, PSG took advantage of the red card to knock over Barcelona. And you're right, I did fade both teams because I'd watched Dortmund against PSV in the last round. And they were really, really terrible. They were lucky to get through. They're still not great at home. One win in the last four. And they're in fifth place in Germany. They've only won 8 of their 15 home league games. But PSG, their domestic form's largely irrelevant because they're playing absolutely nobody. And they are just pissing about at the moment, PSG, as they win the league. They're unbeaten away from home in the league. I like PSG, but I'm not brave enough. I think they're a better team, basically. I think PSG are better than Dortmund. But not brave enough to take them as an outright. But they scored 6 times against Barcelona. They scored twice in both legs against Sociedad, which was the round before. So I think they can get 2 goals here, Baz. So it's a PSG team total, which does fit in with your over 3.5. 2-2 draws well and truly in play, Baz. The PSG team total over 1.5 is 5-6 minus 120.
Like it.
Okay, Baz likes it. Right, we're going to head into the Europa League. Semi-finals are both on Thursday here. 8 o'clock kickoffs, both of them. First up, we have Marseille taking on Atalanta. Marseille 7-5 plus 140. The draw is 12-5 plus 240. And Atalanta 9-5 plus 180. Marseille playing as we speak, Barry. Do you know what the score is?
They're winning 1-0 at home to Lens.
We said Lens there. You like, we've got a bit of Lens chat. Marseille beat Benfica on penalties last time after a 1-0 home win. But that low-scoring game has been the exception. There's been loads of goals in their matches before that. They're not very good at home in France. They are 8th in the league. They've got no win in 5. But they're scoring, conceding plenty. Atalanta, great win against Liverpool. Popular win against Liverpool. They won 3-0 at Anfield. No fluky about that performance either, by the way. They were excellent. The form's quite patchy, but they're a very good side, Barry, and they don't really fit with this stereotypical Italian thing. They're not an Italian cliche at all. I really like the manager, Gasperini. He's got an awful lot about him. They're aggressive. And when I mean aggressive, I don't mean they're going to run around the place and kick shit out of you. They're aggressive, how Kevin Keegan's Newcastle were aggressive. They'll absolutely get into you here. And then, bang, bang, they'll score a couple of quick goals. Atlanta won't die wondering here. They will absolutely go for it. I don't think you're going to see a cagey game even a little bit. The over 2.5 goals is too big, Baz. This competition's always full of goals. Like I say, that 1-0 Marseille home win against Benfica is the outlier. Over 2.5 is too big. 9-10 minus 111. Over 2.5 goals, Marseille versus Atalanta, Barry.
Yeah, so to clarify, when you said there Marseille can't win at home, you meant they're not winning, they're not doing very well domestically. The home form is very good. Atalanta obviously cruised into it with that 3-0 win, as you say, at Anfield. Really popular win amongst most of our listeners, I think. And they followed up with back-to-back wins in the league as well. Marseille, on the other hand, they had to do it the hard way. 1-0 win in the second leg v Benfica was enough to get them to penalties, scrape their way through. And I think they've had back-to-back 2-2 draws since, but then, as you say, playing tonight against Lens, currently 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go. I loved Marseille as a pick in the second leg in the last round where they got past Benfica. They were a good price at home where they are in good form at home. I think they've lost just once at home all season. Recent defeat to PSG was the only home defeat they've had. At home in Europe, they've beaten Benfica, Villarreal, Shakhtar, Ajax. The only team that's got anything off them was Brighton, went and got a 2-2 draw. Now, Atlanta were obviously flying away from home in the last round. I don't know if I mentioned they won 3-0 at Anfield.
Oh, did they? Good result.
Yeah, popular one, that one. I do like Atalanta. I think over two legs, I would back them. But I think it's a really tight tie here. And I favour Marseille at home. I think Marseille to win this one at 7-5 is a fair price. And my pick, I'm going to go with the Marseille home for Marseille to beat Atalanta at 7-5.
Lloyd's on the chat's giving us Atalanta to win with Scamacca to score at any time. That bet would have cashed when Atalanta beat Liverpool 3-0, Barry, in the last round. Good result there. Okay, next, the second semi-final. Sorry, Callum in the chat. I can sense Callum getting more agitated. Roma taken on by Leverkusen. Roma 12-5, plus 240. The draw 13-5, plus 260. Leverkusen 21-20, plus 105, Barry.
First things first, let's talk about Leverkusen first, despite the fact that they're the home team. This unbeaten record of Leverkusen's, they've not lost a game all season now, still unbeaten in all competitions. But I don't know how. Have you seen the last three games? They had West Ham, where they were 1-0 down in the second leg and equalised 89th minute, I think it was. They then played Dortmund the week after. Dortmund 1-0 up. 97th minute, Leverkusen equalised. And then yesterday they played Stuttgart. They were 2-0 down, come back to 2-1, 61 minutes. 96th minute, equalised again. So that's three games in a row now they've had injury or sort of last minute equaliser to keep their unbeaten run intact. So they're certainly using up their luck. I mean, it doesn't matter in the league. They've won it, who cares? But they'll want to go unbeaten. But yeah, they're scraping along with that unbeaten run. Coming to this one as favourites, for obvious reasons, they can't lose. So how do you get past them? But I still think Roma might be a little bit overpriced here. They were underdogs in both legs against Milan in the last round. In fact, in the home leg against Milan, they were the exact same price to win as they are now. And they came out on top in that one. I liked Roma last time against Milan. I thought they were overpriced then. And I do so again. De Rossi's got Roma going well. They've improved since Mourinho left. Particularly well at home. They did lose last week to Bologna. Prior to that, they'd won five straight home games, including in this competition, wins over Milan and Brighton, where they beat them 4-0 as well, hammered Brighton, but Bournemouth have shown today anyone can do that. Almost talked myself into Roma at 12-5. I don't think it's a bad show. You can also get Roma double chance at 4-5, which I don't mind. But I ended up factoring Roma in whilst also being a little bit soft with it and having a bit of a safety net. The both teams to score is really backable here. It's 4-5. Roma haven't failed to score in any of the last five. Leverkusen have just had three straight score draws, not keeping many clean sheets. I think the both teams to score is a good price, 4-5. So Roma v Leverkusen, both to score at 4-5 will be my pick.
I think, Barry, I like your pick more than I like my pick. It's a fifth of a point. My pick's even money. But I think the safety net, that 20% of a point. So, yeah, Roma, the form's all right. They did lose their last home game in the league against Bologna. They won 11 of 17 at home. They squeezed past Feyenoord in the last round. They smashed Brighton. But the fly in the ointment is that excellent win against AC Milan, 3-1 aggregate win. Leverkusen, like you say, I haven't seen much of this great form, but obviously they've done it all early in the season to allow them just to ease off a little bit. But they were one goal better than Carabag, and then held West Ham pretty much at arm's length in that last game. They wrap the league up so they can fully focus on this. And I want goals, Baz. So my play was over 2.5 at even money. But the only thing I'm taking out here is a 3-0 win for somebody, which I think is unlikely. I think the both teams to score is a better play. So I'm scribbling mine out here. Look, there it goes. Scribbled out, officially scribbled out. And I'm going to take BTTS. I'll write that down. 4-5 minus 125. Live stealing of Barry's pick. That's what everyone's here.
Funny enough, Malcolm, I've done exactly the same. When I looked at the odds for the goals, the 4-5 just jumped off for me because, I'd looked at the over 2.5 as well. And I thought it's just worth taking that little bit off. And, you know, we can still cash with a 1-1.
Leverkusen win with Frimpong anytime at 6-1 is Lloydo's play in that one. Right, okay. We've now got the Conference League. UEFA Conference League, two semi-finals. Also on Thursday night, What have you done here, Baz? You haven't made picks for each game, have you? What do you want to do?
I've got a pick for each game, a very, very brief handicap of each game, but I'm just putting them together as a double. So it's up to you how you want to play it. I can launch into mine, or if you want to reel yours off, then.
No, mine will be better, so I'll go first. Aston Villa, 11-25, minus 227. The draw, 15-4, plus 375. And Olympiacos are 11-2, plus 550. Villa were really weird against Chelsea because they looked comfortable. I was working, and I saw them go 2-0 up, and it did seem like they were comfortable. And then I watched Match of the Day, and they could have easily lost. We made a lot of people saying they should have lost if that free kick. And then their XG was like 0.84. So from what at first glance looked to me like a typical Villa sort of dashing, attacking performance, hadn't been like that at all, really. They've been good at home in this, though, Barry. They scored goals. All the average teams they've played, Villa have pretty much put to the sword here. And then they did have a good win against Lille last time out. And I was quite impressed with Lille. I think Villa did very well. And Olympiacos aren't up to that standard at all. Olympiacos haven't faced this level of opposition, Baz. They beat Maccabi Tel Aviv in the last round. They lost 4-1 at home and then won 6-1 away. So that's an odd one, to knock out Tel Aviv. The domestic form's hard to read because they're not playing anyone. But this, like I say, this is Aston Villa versus someone down the bottom of the Premier League. Aston Villa v Brighton or Burnley or Sheffield United. It's that kind of level. Villa on the handicap is 6-5, plus 120. I can see them winning 3-0, Barry. Villa on the handicap, dead straightforward.
Yeah, I liked how you bundled in Brighton with Burnley and Sheffield United now as teams at the bottom of the league. Yeah, they haven't quite sunk just that far yet, but the form is on its way that way. Do you want to jump into the next game?
Yeah, well, do the second game, Baz, and you can give us your double. Then the second game here is Fiorentina against Club Brugge, however you want to pronounce it. Fiorentina 4-5, minus 125. The draw is 5-2. Plus 250, and Bruges are Berlitt and Bertie, 130, plus 333. Fiorentina form is not great. They squeezed past another Israeli team, Maccabi Haifa, and then they beat Pilsen, Victoria Pilsen, after extra time. Bruges have won the last three knockout games without conceding, Barry, against Mulder and Pauk. They've kept 6 clean sheets in 10 Conference League games. I don't fancy Fiorentina at all here. Not brave enough to give Bruges, but I think they'll keep it tight. So I like the draw, Baz, 13-5 plus 260. But I really like under 1.5 on the Fiorentina team total. I think Bruges can limit them to 1 goal or fewer. So that under 1.5 for Fiorentina is 4-5 minus 125.
Yeah, so I mean, both your picks will be all right for me. I've just, as I say, very brief handicaps, but in the Villa game, I've taken the over 2.5 goals. Both teams went to pens last round. Both ties finishing 3-3, so plenty goals all around. 6 of Villa's last 7 have gone over 2.5 goals. It's only the Arsenal game that didn't hit. Over 2.5 at 8-11 in the Villa game for me. And the Fiorentina game, I'm going under 2.5. Fiorentina had 2 nil-nils against Pilsen in the last round. Eventually won 2-0 in extra time. So just the 2 goals across those 2 games in 210 minutes. And Bruges went through fairly easily, but a 1-0 and a 2-0. So both legs went under for them. Give me the under 2.5 goals in this one. Fiorentina v Bruges at 4-5. So overs in the Villa game and unders in the Fiorentina game. Just over 2-1, the double, plus 210.
Pretty much read every game very similarly so far here. Simmers has joined us. Simmers, how are you doing? Simmers is on his Hollybobs, Baz. He's in that America. He's in Orlando. I think he's going to have a few days in New Orleans with his lass. I saw Fiona yesterday, Simmers, taking your ticket to go and sit with Uncle Jim at the match yesterday outside the pub. So, yeah, thanks for joining us, kid. How are you doing? Right, we've got a Premier League game as well on Thursday night. which we might sort of live watch or do the show just after it, but we thought we'd cover it on tonight's show. The game is Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur, which is, what, 8 o'clock Thursday? Let's have a look. 7:30, actually. 2:30 Eastern time on Thursday. Chelsea are 15-13, plus 115. The draw 11-4, plus 275. Tottenham are 2-1. Really, really simple this for me, Baz. I just prefer Chelsea. In fact, I really, really like Chelsea here. They score too many goals for Tottenham. And I think at this stage of the season, we're seeing teams on different parts of the cycle now. We're seeing Tottenham have quite a good start and a lot of optimism. And that's kind of fallen off a little bit. And they're trending downwards, where Chelsea, even though they're throwing the odd bizarre result, you said on last week's show that the two bad results were Man City and Arsenal. Well, they could do that to anyone. And actually, they probably should have beat City. Fair enough, Arsenal humped them. And then Chelsea came in a little bit of adversity yesterday. They could have easily downed Tools at 2-0 against Villa, and they didn't. And barring a controversial decision, would have won that game 3-2. Cole Palmer's absolutely key. We know that. We keep saying it every week. But they look really, really dangerous all the time. And Tottenham have got no intention of defending at any point. I watched them up here. I can't get that sight out of my mind. Watch them again today. How they kept that 3-2, I don't know. Because for 60 minutes, Arsenal schooled them. So I just think the trajectories are passing. They're crossing. And Chelsea will duff them up here. 15-13. Barry, I'll just take Chelsea on the money line.
Yeah, I've got a fairly short handicap of this one. Just based on what we've seen from both teams recently, it's very chaotic, both sides. We've seen 13 goals in the last three Spurs games, no clean sheets in the last six. And Chelsea games have now seen over 3.5 goals in 10 of the last 11. 8 straight, if you just look at the league games as well. 8 in a row over 3.5. It hit for me the other day in the Villa-Chelsea game. I'm just going to keep riding it. Over 3.5 goals between Chelsea and Spurs at 4-5.
Nice one, Baz. Thank you very much. Think, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's it done. I've got no exotic stuff, Barry. I don't think you have. You've given a little double out for the Conference League. Nothing now.
No, that's it. That's it.
Beautiful.
I've got a bottle of something sat next to me on the table. So just a quick quiz question. What do you think it is?
A bottle of something.
It's a cooking ingredient. So it's not something I'm going to drink. It's a cooking ingredient.
Got 20 right,
seconds.
Okay.
If you're in the chat, you can have a guess. But yeah.
I'm going to go with fish sauce.
Fish sauce?
No? Not fish sauce?
Can I? We've got no guesses in the chat. So anyway, you are along the right lines, right cuisine.
Soy sauce.
Pure sesame oil.
Callum, half a point. Do you get it? Half a point for that?
Get a point for oil. It's not bad. Not a bad guess, that. But sesame oil. So you were close, because I have also got soy sauce, rice vinegar. I've got all of the Asian ingredients here. Fish sauce. I made a Chinese dish the other day.
I don't know if you saw my Twitter today, Baz, but did you see the kebabs on Twitter? There was like 4 kebabs. Yes. It was like baby bear kebab up to my kebab, which was just what level of things people eat here. So Bob was purely meat. That was what was on his kebab. Just meat, lamb, nothing else at all. Betty, up one stage, consented to a small bit of onion. So there was like 3 bits of onion on her kebab. You then have the IT department, who would have a bit of pineapple and a bit of pepper, and then all the way up to mine, which had all those things, plus mushrooms. So it was just sort of the evolution of how people grew up in kebabs, Baz. But it was good. I enjoyed it. And they were an Arc de Triomphe, by the way. Enjoyed it a lot. Right, I think we're done. We'll probably be back, I reckon, Thursday night. I might be going to see Mickey Flanagan on Thursday, Baz.
Wednesday, Malcolm. We've got a Friday night game. We need to try and get sure on Wednesday this week, I think, because the Premier League kicks off Friday.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. Okay, then. Right, thanks everyone in the chat. Peter Harrison's just give us a little GG that I've stuck on the bottom of the screen there. Loido's horse finished 30-2 the other day, 5-1. That was pretty much money back. I did have a little go on that, Loido. with my cash money from the bookies. And so, yeah, thanks, everyone. Slick Ricker was first in. Lee, Callum, Lloyd, Simmers, enjoy your Holly Bob's, kid. Pete Harrison, Bolden Colliery. Harry was in there as well. James Mafia joined us. We appreciate it. It's loads of fun. And I've been enjoying all the Twitter interactions. Happy to let everyone go, Baz. Anything to add?
No, that's all from me.
Right, okay. If you want to listen to some MLB shite, 12 minutes over on the other channel, and I'll be back. But until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.